All right, everybody, we are back. A fresh edition of Fresh Takes with Russo and Felice. I am Paul Russo. Across from me, as always, the man, the myth, the legend himself, making sure that you remember the 21st night of September, Nick Felice. Nick, do you understand, one, the reference that I just made, and two, how are you doing this fine evening?
No, don't understand it at all. What's it mean?
Wait, you don't know about Earth, Wind, and Fire in the song September?
No. Is that a new hit?
No. No, it quite the opposite. In fact, it's a legendary song, a certified bop.
I probably have heard of it. I just don't know the name of it. But
oh my gosh.
It is the last week of September. Last weekend coming up here. That's pretty crazy. October right around the corner.
I do know
Monster Mash.
God.
Halloween, you know. I just asked Paul before the show started here. What do you get more mad about? Decorations too early or keeping decorations
too late? Early? Too early. Too early. Thanks, Christmas.
I would say the opposite. I don't think too early. I think that just shows people are into the holiday spirit, whether it's Halloween, whether it's Thanksgiving or Christmas, or even New Year's, whatever you're celebrating, St. Patty's Day. That shows that you're into the holiday if you're doing it too early. I get a little upset when it's a little too late. You know, 2 weeks into November, you still got your Halloween stuff. Come on. Come on. It hasn't snowed yet. That's where it gets me. But
what a really weird takeoff we had on the show today.
Yeah, you know. It's
Well, that'll be it for the show. I will see everybody next week.
Everyone's a big decoration guy, you know. I know there's no decoration contest, but you know, when you see those neighbors put up a nice, you know, big giant blow up, you gotta compete. You gotta compete.
You're the only one, at least in the current state of your neighborhood, that I feel still goes all out for Halloween.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I mean,
I could be wrong.
It's the weirdest thing.
But you have the Franken football player, my personal favorite.
Yeah. Actually, the 12-foot witch has died. She
R.I.P.
R.I.P., yeah.
Was not anticipating this occurring.
Yeah, she died actually a couple years ago now. I got to go out and get a new one.
Why was I not informed?
Well, I thought she was alive last year, but she wasn't. So we got to get a new one, but it's the weirdest thing. I love Halloween. Get into it. But I never dress up. I don't like doing that. I don't dress up. Just that one episode of this podcast is probably the first time I dressed up in a long time. But
now I don't know where that Batman mask is, by the way.
I love Halloween. I think it's just I love scaring people more than actually, you know.
Shout out Pat Russo.
Dressing people. Yep. Yeah. But I get into it, but we're going to step up this year and hit the podium of the Carroll Ave neighborhood.
Speaking of podiums, we have a trifecta of topics. Obviously football, and then we're going to talk a little bit of the NASCAR Cup playoffs. First round just wrapped up there, but as we usually do, we'll switch up the order a little bit this week. We'll go college first and NFL second. Mm-hmm.
That is not the Ryder Cup playoffs at the end. No playoffs for the Ryder Cup.
Admittedly, I forgot about the Ryder Cup even occurring this weekend, so.
It's all right, you know. We're probably going to lose.
It's not the spirit to have.
Well, we already got problems putting Harris English on the team.
Who?
Exactly, over Patrick Reed. I'm not a huge Patrick Reed
fan. I mean, I'm not a big Patty Reed guy, but at least I know who Patty Reed is.
We need to get the best golfers out there right now.
And yeah.
And Tiger Woods is down, so hopefully.
Is Phil playing?
No, he's a captain.
But he's not playing.
Not playing.
That's weird.
Yeah. We'll see what old Steve Stricker pulls up this weekend, but yeah.
I was actually about to ask about Steve Stricker. Like, is he still roaming in the...
He's the captain. He's the coach. He's the coach. He's the main captain or whatever they call it. Okay. And you got your assistant captains. And then that's like Fred Couples.
Uh-oh. Nick, do you hear what I hear?
That's the train.
Yep. It's a rarity that it occurs during the podcast now.
Yep. The train and... And we'll be breaking news, is what you see on this podcast daily, but weekly, I mean. But, yep, and there it is. we'll see. I guarantee Koepka and DeChambeau are not going to be playing together anytime soon, but.
No.
Should be good. I'll be rooting for the U.S. I just don't think we're going to win.
I hope we do. So. All right, Nick, you ready? You ready to jump in?
Yeah, I'm hopping on board. All aboard.
I hate you. All right, Nick. So it's a yearly tradition where usually there's one week in a football year I don't really see.
What?
So the yearly tradition of me not really seeing a full weekend of football has occurred for great reason. Yeah. Week 3 of college football. My main takeaways personally, right? Obviously, Syracuse kind of rolled Albany a little bit.
They beat a really good team.
Yeah. But the Big Ten flexed some muscle this past weekend, I thought. To the point where, you know, got some of the early experts saying they could have two playoff teams, and one of them might not even be Ohio State in the long run. So, I don't know. I mean, the main, I guess, two Big Ten games that I kind of not saw but was kind of keeping some tabs on was the Penn State-Auburn game, obviously, and what was end up being a loss for a Big Ten team in Indiana against Cincinnati. But they took Cincinnati, who I predicted at the start of the year would make the playoff, pretty much to the whole distance.
Didn't you also predict Oregon?
Huh?
Didn't you also predict Oregon?
Yes. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I predicted this was going to be the year of weird playoff. Anyway.
You also picked the Devils in the Stanley Cup Finals.
No, I did? I don't think I did. You're a liar.
Certain you did. Roll the tape.
Man. Death, taxes, Philip Rivers, length of the field, Nick thinking I picked the Devils. Mm-hmm. Anyway. So, Nick, I know your favorite team, Notre Dame, they had a Big Ten matchup against Purdue, and it seemed like they were able to keep them pretty much at arm's length the whole time, but, you know, that game was definitely probably a little bit closer than expected, admittedly. So, what are your thoughts? Because really the Big Ten the past few years has been a lot of beating up on each other, which it will have to be anyway. But we kind of always had a bit of a mockery of the Big Ten the past, really, year to year and a half.
Yeah, Purdue is actually my good friend Josh Langley's favorite team.
Did they get the drum inside, by the way?
They said it wasn't big enough, but I don't think it was able but to. But yeah, he invited me over for a couple drinks to watch the game, but I could not, unfortunately, on Saturday because I was at Hobart at St. John Fisher football, which,
yep.
One, very underrated stadium in St. John Fisher.
Were you able to get a seat in the box?
No.
Boo.
No, radio, play-by-play. It was full. So I just watched from the stands. But a really nice stadium. It was alumni weekend. It was pretty cool. I didn't realize D3, the refs were mic'd up when they called the penalties and stuff. That was pretty cool. But anyway, I was there, and I wasn't able to go see my friend Josh, and I wasn't able to watch the game. But I saw on my phone what was going on, and it was just nice to see Notre Dame. Not that it was a blowout, but nice to see them not in a closer game than they have the last 2 weeks. You know, Florida State, which has looked like a great juggernaut of a team since that week one game, and obviously I'm sarcastic about that, but and then Toledo is, Toledo better. You know, it's a above average mid major team, no doubt about that. Mm-hmm. But still close.
Go Rockets.
Closer game than you wanted to, but. Like, Toledo definitely could have beat us, but which I also didn't get a chance to watch the game. I was actually home when that game was on, but it was on stupid Peacock, which...
Yes. So that's the future of sports, though. But that's a different discussion.
So I haven't been able to watch Notre Dame live since week one, but, tough test this weekend. I was pleased with the win over Purdue. They seem to play Purdue always pretty good. Wisconsin this week's going to be tough at Wisconsin. Big noon game on Fox. Looking forward to that. I'm covering Hobart football Saturday night, so I will get a chance to watch it this week at noon. So I'm looking forward to that. +6, you got to like Notre Dame. Just because, haven't lost a regular season game in a couple years now. So, I like Notre Dame money line. I do, because Wisconsin, didn't have the greatest year in 2020, but weird year, so I guess you can make any excuses about 2020. But Wisconsin, you said, Paul, there was two Big Ten teams that you said are in the Final Four, you think, potentially. I'm assuming that's Iowa.
That's what the experts.
Iowa and Penn State is who you're talking about?
Well, the ones that they don't think will be Ohio State.
Yes. So are those
I
the
mean,
two teams you're talking about? Not
yeah,
Wisconsin?
Yeah.
Or Michigan?
I mean, I was about to say, I think Michigan's getting a lot of traction. They defeat another pretty much perennial MAC powerhouse in Northern Illinois this weekend handily, 63-10.
Mm-hmm.
Iowa beat a not exactly MAC perennial powerhouse in Kent State, 30-7. Penn State, obviously, big win against Auburn.
Great scene, though.
Yeah.
That was
oh,
awesome.
The whiteout's incredible.
I was watching that, and I was just so mind-blown by watching that game. That scene in the crowd, something you didn't see last year, and my goodness, you couldn't even see, like, the alleyways of where you walk in and out of the stadium.
Yeah.
And it was just absolutely incredible, and didn't really understand why Auburn was wearing the whites. I know road teams wear the whites, mm-hmm. but, you know, I guess it was a true whiteout for both sides, but now that was cool to see. Teams like that, though, you can't stumble at any point in the season, unless you're, like, the high-power teams like Alabama, Ohio State, Oklahoma, mm-hmm. those type of teams. But, like, Penn State, say they lose a couple in a row, they just have a couple bad weeks.
Yeah.
That's going to hurt your chances. That basically eliminates you from making the playoffs, unless you rattle off and win the Big Ten. But you just can't stumble. You got to keep it going. You got to keep the foot on the gas. But anytime you can beat an SEC team in a great big environment game like that, it's huge. Mm-hmm. So I did enjoy that game. I did watch that. That was pretty cool.
So obviously you mentioned Michigan. I'd be remiss if we didn't mention the fact Michigan State now has climbed into the top 25 after rolling Miami. I didn't want to make this as big of a topic just yet, but I think it is a fair question to pose because we both, obviously Cuse being in the ACC, Notre Dame is pretty much a de facto ACC team despite them having independent status. ACC just does not look great this year. Like I said, I wasn't able to obviously watch a ton of football. You weren't really able to either. Did Clemson, to your knowledge, did Clemson like struggle against Georgia Tech? Or
I did not catch that.
Yeah, because the game was 18-7. I want to be sure I got that score right.
Yeah.
Or no, 14-8. So
is what it ended.
I know Tech's defense is really good, but I know their offense is still your stereotypical Tech offense. So I don't know where that kind of stands at or whatever. Obviously, you mentioned Florida State. I think we're looking down the barrel potentially here, especially with Clemson having one loss, of having no ACC, true ACC school in the playoff.
Oh, yeah, I think there's a really good chance.
Come end of December.
Yeah, I mean, they're going to have to really turn around here now. You're going to need, like, a North Carolina to beat Notre Dame. You're going to need, you know, who else is up there? You know, Clemson's going to have to stay true. They're going to have to keep running the tables, which they easily could. And you got Syracuse. Hasn't even played an ACC game yet. So,
yeah.
You know, let them play an ACC game, obviously. Gonna learn a lot about Syracuse this Friday when they play Liberty, who's actually a pretty good mid-major team. So we saw them against Rutgers.
Yeah,
the offense was disappeared against Rutgers other than that one drive. Which Rutgers has played pretty well this season, though. They played well. So
they just had dismissed two kids off the team, though.
Rutgers.
On defense, yeah.
That's gonna hurt, but I did not know that. But they got a good coach, Greg Schiano.
Yeah.
Greg Schiano, and so it was nice to see Schrader throw more passes than DeVito on Friday.
Well, I was gonna say to me actually the best part, and I don't, you know, obviously I mentioned it last week, right? Being an FCC game, your one FCC game a year. Hard to take a lot of weight into things, but I thought it was pretty cool the fact that the kind of broader scope of college football fans got to see who Sean Tucker is. In my mind, and I've been a proponent of this, he should be the next guy wearing number 44. In the hypothetical sense, of course. Obviously, Syracuse with it retired. I think they should have a program much like Clemson with the four program. I know a lot of other schools have a program similar with their quote-unquote keystone number type deal. But Sean Tucker, he's the real deal, I think. It will be interesting to see because, you know, he's had these moments here the past few weeks. This is going to be really now that first true test this week, in my opinion, against Liberty on Friday. You know, he had that breakout game. Let's see how defenses react and everything like that. Obviously, you mentioned Schrader. They did probably, you know, the dual thing. I think Schrader really closed out the game, quote unquote. But yeah, 11 for 15, 190, one TD, one pick. DeVito, same thing on the TD to interceptions. Only threw for 147, but did so on 9 passes, 6 completions. Sean Tucker led the way for both rushing and receiving for Syracuse on offense. So that's really awesome to see there. And then doesn't look like anything too crazy happened elsewhere, which is pretty cool. We only punted once, so that's fantastic. I know, like, for instance, I was able to see the score of the game at halftime being 45-10. I would have just left at halftime because it just seemed like it was that type of game. Ended up, what, 62-24?
So they closed out their season against ACC teams last season?
Yep. And for this week against Liberty, it's all ACC schools for the Cuse.
What are you expecting on those 8 games? What record?
Well, we're sitting 1-2 now. I'd assume we Oh, man.
You're 2-1, by the way.
We're 2-1?
Yeah, you beat Ohio.
Oh, that's right. My bad.
Come on.
That was a nice win.
I mean, I'm anticipating probably losing to Liberty Friday night. It's what this team has done to me at this point. That being said, our last regular season game is Pitt, as is tradition on Thanksgiving weekend. I mean, I don't know, down the stretch, 4-8 probably still. I mean, this team has not given me anything to sit here and go anything north of, like, say, 7-5.
Yeah.
I guess in scenarios they could squeak to 5-7. I mean, maybe if things really go right, 6-6. But
what does Dino have to do to keep his job?
Win.
Yeah, I know. Well, how many?
Win.
6-6, he gone?
Yeah.
7-5, he gone.
Yeah.
Interesting. Does he have to win a bowl game?
I guess at that point, it depends the record.
Yeah.
If he gets 8-4 and loses a bowl game, no. 7-5, I think he probably would need to win that bowl game.
Yeah. 6-6 definitely needs to win
the
bowl game.
Yeah.
And if they're letting 5-7 teams in again this year.
Probably. Well, actually, I don't know. I think a lot of it depends about COVID still. I mean, I don't know where everybody's going to sit. So I know we are -2 bowl games, I think, at the moment, from where we have been the past, well, outside of last year. But
you got, if we were talking about week 3 college football, you got to talk about Alabama, Florida. That was a great game.
Yeah, I was about to say, it seemed like it hit all the check marks for a really classic SEC battle.
Yeah, I can't believe it was that close, to be honest with you. I thought Alabama was going to steamroll through
Florida,
everyone this
year. That Florida team's good. Their issue is, and it's not a knock on him, I'd love to have him as Syracuse's head coach. I mean, Dan Mullen has a knack of kind of messing up the bigger games to a degree. Whether it's preparation or game plan or gameplay at that point. Usually, I mean, he has a track record of that, like at Mississippi State. I don't know if you remember when he was there, and they were obviously really good with Dak, and they got to, I believe it was, #1 in the nation at the one point, and completely flubbed up the Egg Bowl game against Mississippi. That Florida team's good. If that Alabama game was for them was a little bit later in the year, they probably don't have their playoff chances hurt as bad. Now I think it's going to be really tough for them going forward. But yeah, let's jump in to looking forward to some of the bigger games of the week.
What ended up being game day?
For last week?
Yeah.
Penn State.
Yeah.
Auburn, Penn State. I know SEC Network was at Gainesville, though. All right. Main games, dude. We do have some teams on bye this week, having a bye week. Usually you see a few teams jump ahead and take that kind of within the first 4 to 5 weeks, give or take. So you do have some teams doing that this week. So really your major games of the week, there's kind of really only a couple to handpick here. Obviously, Nick, you mentioned earlier Notre Dame and Wisconsin, Big Noon Saturday. I'm guessing that is where Fox is with Big Noon Saturday. So game day at that point on the ESPN side of things, I would assume would probably be 7-ranked Texas A&M at 16 Arkansas. Really, that's the only two major head-to-head games of the week.
Really?
Even those are really the only two ranked versus ranked games of the week. Oh, Alabama's on a bye. At that point, Georgia plays like Vanderbilt, for instance. Fresno State has a Friday night game against UNLV. Penn State has their FCC opponent of the year in Villanova. Nova will play them, I think, pretty tough, but I think Penn State, I'll put it to you this way, gambling-wise, I would still probably take Penn State.
Pennsylvania rivalry?
On the lot, like, with everything. Just Villanova will probably play them tougher than they think. Fair warning. I mean, really, other than that, I mean, I don't know really where else some of these other games kind of lie on radar.
Where is that Penn State game?
Saturday at noon in Penn State. I mean, we do have a rivalry game, Tennessee in Florida.
Tennessee getting any better?
Yeah, not really. Other than that, I mean, maybe West Virginia, Oklahoma might cause some buzz, but I think that's just will be your classic Big 12 hammer the over because the defenses have no shot.
I can see that getting crazy.
I'm intrigued by Clemson, NC State. I think Clemson will win, but if that indication against Georgia Tech's anything, that'd probably be an interesting game to kind of watch.
Where's that one?
In Raleigh.
Really?
Yep. At NC State. I mean, other than that, that's pretty much what we're looking at for the week here. I apologize. Yeah. I said Alabama has a bye. They don't. They play Southern Miss.
Right. That's a bye. Yeah, it's kind of a slow week, huh?
In the grand scheme of things, yeah. Like I said, Cuse hosts Liberty Friday night, 8 o'clock.
What's the line?
I don't know, because we aren't able to gamble on AC on in-state college colleges.
What would you set it at?
Liberty giving probably 7. I'm looking it up quick, by the way.
Would you hammer that -7?
No.
You would take Syracuse +7.
I was close. Liberty is -6 right now.
I think Syracuse is going to pull off the upset this week.
You're a much better person than I.
Should be interesting. It'd be interesting to see who gets more snaps at quarterback. That's always the thing.
He better figure that out. I'm not doing dual quarterback nonsense at this point. All right, week 2 NFL action. A lot of injuries this week.
Yep.
NFL always has it, but week 2 this week took out a lot of guys.
At least it's not the big names in fantasy like it was last year.
Tyrod Taylor. Ouch. He was like 12th best fantasy quarterback out of week 1.
I'm talking about Christian McCaffrey and Saquon. Fair enough. I think they both went down week 2 last year.
Fair enough. But Bills bounced back in a big way. Big win for the Bills. Obviously, Tua getting hurt. But 35-0, Tua or not, I don't. That probably it would have been close to where it was anyway, just the way the Bills were playing.
When did Tua get hurt? First quarter.
First half, yeah. End of first, maybe beginning of second. I can't remember. But
it was early, though.
I was wrong about my beloved Washington football team. They did, in fact, win.
They did lose for a second there.
Well, yes. but, and then the AFC is just wacky. I mean, our top two teams are the Raiders and Broncos at 2-0. So, yeah, I mean, just wacky NFL nonsense in week two, pretty much. Again, I was traveling the better part of that day-ish, so I wasn't able to tune into as many of the games as I would have liked. That being said, just absolutely, the NFL shaping up to have a pretty interesting and fun year. I mean, we said it obviously in the preview, but really the way some of these games and the way the schedules break out, like this 18th week, 17th game is going to prove to be major down here in the stretch now. Mm-hmm. Just where everything's kind of shaking out and everything. So I'm really looking forward to that. What are your thoughts from week two? Because a lot of storylines and just, like I said, the AFC is just in a wacky spot right now. And then, like, on the NFC side of things, I mean, I think it's like what I said, what we have been saying for the past now however many years. It's just Tom Brady and the Bucks are just rolling.
Yeah,
so
you hear Tom Brady's come out and said that they're not even playing their best football right now.
Yeah.
And my biggest takeaway is definitely Monday Night Football. Aaron Rodgers is not throwing games as we thought he might have last week. But, yeah, I think there's no clear – I mean, maybe Tampa Bay in the NFC, but in the AFC, there is no clear-cut favorite to win that AFC right now because you had the Chiefs take a step back. The Steelers took a step back this week. And then the Bills, Browns, Ravens, they all came back to normal, as we saw last year in week two. And then, of course, you said Chargers-Broncos. Or not Chargers. Raiders-Broncos, 2-0, top of that division. While the Chargers and Chiefs are sitting, you know, in the back of the division. Dolphins are another team that took a step back this week, obviously. Losing Tua hurt. The Patriots got a win. They jumped up. It's kind of like not a lot of teams in the AFC went from 1-0 to 2-0, unlike the Broncos and the Raiders did. A lot of teams went from 1-0 to 1-1 or 0-1 to 1-1. So that means there's no clear-cut favorite. You can speculate who you think might be a clear-cut favorite. I actually do like the Raiders. I do like what's going on there. John Gruden's an underrated, great coach. Mm-hmm. Derek
Spider two-eyed banana, man.
Yeah. Derek Carr's an underrated, great quarterback. Darren Waller didn't even have that great of a game in week two. Some of those young receivers like Ruggs the third, Brian Edwards, you know, maybe it's working there. Josh Jacobs didn't even play.
Ouch.
Yeah. I think that's definitely, you know.
Week two injury by proxy.
I think if they keep it up, I think they could be the biggest surprise team in the NFL this year, the Raiders. It's not the Jets. I am taking that blame. It is not the Jets. They are not ready for the big time. But I don't know. I think in the NFC side of things, don't know if Ayuk played this week, Paul. Did he play this week?
I believe he did, but I did not start him in my lineup. Yeah. I stayed away.
Deebo Samuel's been great for the Niners, though. But I think the biggest surprise team, even like the Raiders and Broncos, they've done what they've done. Surprised a little bit. I think the biggest surprise team that could actually be good this year is the Carolina Panthers. You know, with Rhule as the head coach, Sam Darnold is your quarterback. Pretty good defense. I think the Panthers can surprise some teams this year. I'll go on a limb and say the Panthers, now that they beat the Saints in week two pretty handily, is the second best team in that division.
Oh, Jesus.
Well, I mean, It's definitely not Atlanta.
Well, yeah, but.
And I think they could fight for a wild card spot. Sure, you're going to need the NFC West to come down a little bit to earth because there's a lot of teams there that want a wild card spot. The way the NFC East and the NFC North are played, I don't know if they're getting a second team. So maybe there's a spot for Carolina. I don't know. I do know the NFC West is very good. I know the AFC West is very good.
I mean, I'll say that Sam Darnold is balling.
Yes. Where do you stand on the Panthers? Is it just a, you know, easy start?
I mean, I think it's probably a little bit of a combo of both, in essence, right? But, I mean, I don't know. I still think the Saints are probably better than them when it comes down to it. I mean, and I don't
definitely
know.
Definitely weren't on Sunday.
Well, yeah.
They're going through a lot right now, you know.
I mean, I don't. The issue with the Panthers, right, is just I'm not sold on Matt Rhule overall. Like I just am not. And that defense still, I mean, they've had like you said, I mean, the luck of the draw the first 2 weeks here for that defense has paid off well. It'll be interesting to see. I mean, really, obviously not getting prediction side of things, but they have another nice week here, defensively speaking, against Houston, who will be playing a quarterback Thursday night that I have no idea who he is. So, you know.
Is it Matt Schwab?
No. but, yeah, I think it's a combo of both. I still think when push comes to shove, I'm going Saints over them still, but... Yeah, maybe your prediction about the Panthers is looking decent right now. I mean, especially compared to your Jets prediction.
Yes. Well, we can't hit on them all, but, you know.
Yeah. Just before you jump in, just looking around the league really quick, the Vikings still can't find a kicker.
Nope. They're kind of a cursed franchise when you think about it.
Just, I don't know. Mac Jones looked good compared to Zach Wilson, who looked awful.
Yeah, any surprise Wilson and Lawrence lead the league in interceptions with 5?
Yeah, I mean, just... I'm not surprised. I mean, that tends to be the case with rookie quarterbacks overall. But I mean, two problems with both of them is just that they just do not have offensive lines in front of them. So, something to build a block on moving forward. For them, anyway.
Mm-hmm. But what was your reaction, yeah. Washington Giants Thursday night pulling out that win?
Well, I was happy, obviously. Dustin Hopkins took another 83 years off my life. Again, I think Washington needs a better kicker, but whatever. Again, like I feel like I'm in the minority here of this guy, even though I did say, I mean, overall, it still is a do or die year for him. But like Daniel Jones has, I think it's like the second best QBR rating so far right now in the NFL for the year or something like that. I know he's top 5.
I didn't know that.
I thought I saw 2. I could be wrong. But like if you're the Giants, and you're in the position that you were in pretty much the second half all the way in that game, run the ball with Saquon more. I don't think it's that difficult. This one comes down to on Joe Judge and Jason Garrett at that point. Obviously, if coordinator Garrett's going to do whatever, and I know offensively he has to play calls over Judge. I mean, but if you're a Judge at this point, I mean, you have, when he's healthy, a top 5 running back in the league. And I really, for not only your sake, but Nick, from a fandom standpoint, but for a league's sake, we do not need Saquon falling into the category that Ezekiel Elliott's in now, where it's, you know, he's become an afterthought of a running back, in essence.
Mm-hmm.
To that degree, I mean, there was a lot of interesting penalty calls in that game. I usually don't get on the refs overall too much. But, I mean, down the stretch, there were a couple penalties that they hadn't called all game that became pretty ticky-tack penalties. I know the field goal attempt there at the end.
But the guy went offsides.
He was offsides, but I know somebody's like, he's not offsides, and with like a freeze frame thing. Like, he's off. And if he's not going to be off, then he's probably going to call for touching the snapper or whatever the penalty I think technically is or whatever.
So. No, they didn't have the clean refs like the Chargers-Cowboys game.
You know, the same refs for that game were the ones that were on for the Chargers and Washington game week one as well.
Really?
Yeah.
Which game? The Cowboys one?
Yeah, for this past week. So.
Yeah.
But overall, I'd safe to say this was a really good week of football, I think, overall. On the pro side of things with the NFL, a lot of close games, a lot of really great endings for really the games that you'd hope for, right? The primetime slots, that Thursday night, the Sunday night, the Monday night, as well as, you know, your 4:25 game between the Cowboys and Chargers. So
I mean, we're not even talking about Sunday night football.
Yeah, I mean, that's the crazy part about that, right? And last night with Monday night.
Yeah, and the Derrick Henry came to play this week. Taking down the Seahawks in overtime.
Obviously, I didn't see red zone, but I'm guessing our boy Scott was working a bit of overtime himself, especially after red zone went down.
Yes, I heard about that. I did not see red zone either, but I heard they went down because they had to get off the air or something. I can't remember why, but, you know, good week. I can't believe it's already over week two. Like, all of a sudden, we're in week three. October's next week. So, Pat Mahomes did lose in September finally, so he's not undefeated in September. He's not unbeatable in the first month of the season. The Chiefs, though, they got to work on that defense. I don't think they're going to win a Super Bowl with that defense. You can get by with a defense like that. You just got to get hot at the right time. I know that as a Giants fan, our defense has just got hot at the right time, especially that second Super Bowl against the Patriots. Our defense was like 31st best. Second worst. So, got to get it hot at the right time. Can't be too nervous about the Chiefs. But, say this, Paul. You would say you're not nervous about the Chiefs. But with the division they're in this year, makes you a little concerned.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that, like I said, like I've said in years past, the Chiefs' defense is built to bend and not break, more or less. But they've been doing a lot of breaking here in the first two weeks. So.
They don't have an easy division.
No, they do not.
They cannot slack a little bit, but Ravens are a good team. They'll be in the mix. I don't think Lamar's a Super Bowl winning quarterback, but he'll get you by.
I'll tell you what, though. It was a great – you want to see a great coach leader moment was that fourth down going for a call between Harbaugh and Lamar. I mean, that's my type of coach right there. That's the coach that I aspire to be, in essence, right there. So, All right, Nick, let's do some predictions. I'm ready for – I think I know which game's going to be. You're a butt wide of me, so.
All right.
But I could be wrong.
Well.
I think we're going to be in agreement on the first game of the week, Thursday night. We kind of alluded to it already a little bit. Panthers at Texans. I'm going Panthers.
I'm going Panthers. Yeah. I think McCaffrey can get 4 touchdowns total in this game.
Wow.
Total.
All right. First game, technically, on the docket. Chargers at Chiefs, Sunday at 1 p.m.
Ooh, that's a good 1 o'clock game right there. I think Herbert's going to have a good game, but I think the Chiefs will win this one.
I'm with you. I think the Chiefs need a rebound game. I'm with you on that. I'm doing the Chiefs. But that game probably is going to come down to, like, last possession, I think.
Yeah. It's a good 1 o'clock game.
Bears at the Browns.
Going Browns.
I'm going Browns as well.
Nick Chubb's playing pretty good right now.
Yep. I lost the Browns on last man, though. Used them last week, and they won, but this would have been probably an equally as great week to use the Browns. I think I know what team I'm probably going to use on last man this week, though, with this matchup. Arizona at Jacksonville.
Ooh, yeah, Arizona's going to wipe the floor. But maybe Trevor Lawrence comes up to play a little bit.
He did look decent, I'd say, down the stretch. He's getting better. He gets better as the games have gone on, first 2 weeks, quick sample size type deal. But he's looked better in the second half of each game.
Did those two play in college against each other? I think he was a little too
Kyler early. And Trevor.
If it would, it obviously would have been his freshman.
I don't think they did. I could be wrong. I can't remember.
I think Kyle Irving might have been a little later, before.
My beloved Washington football team is traveling to Buffalo. First time I'm at
box seat.
Sidebar here. For those who don't know, I made a vow to never return to whatever its name stadium is now or a Buffalo Bills game.
Really?
I vowed. Until last week when Matt shot me a text, said, hey, you want to go to the game? Big ups to Matt. I will be there supporting the Washington, my beloved Washington football team for the first time. Box seats. Sweet, sweet. They will be the last of my like big four favorite teams I get to see play in person. I'm pretty excited about that. So,
you've seen the Lightning.
Yep. So, with that in mind, even though I know this is probably going to be a loss anyway against me, and even though I think I know what's coming here, screw it. Damn the Torpedoes. I'm taking Washington.
Why, Paul?
Yeah, there it is. Because why not us? Why not us? I will be there. It would be fantastic.
If anybody
who
watches the
Paul,
show.
You want to know why? You want to know why Paul Russo is going to be at the game? That's why.
You know what? I typically would pick Washington in this game, but I
Nick, just be the smart guy here and actually do it.
I've said my why. I have to stick with it.
Yep.
I'm not a huge Bills guy, but
none of us are.
I think at home Buffalo will beat Washington, and the NFC East team, it just seems weird that they're at 500 and winning division.
Hell yeah.
Got to get to under 500. So, yeah, I got Buffalo winning this game, but I'll be rooting for Washington. I will.
Colts at Titans. This is going to be another, I think, interesting game on the whole entire last man standing side of things, given the quarterback situation in Indy. But I'm going to go Titans here.
I'm going with Titans. I think Derrick Henry could have another big game.
Falcons at the Giants. Back-to-back weeks, I'm going the G-men, by the way. I think the Atlanta team's just not very good, especially defensively.
Well, they've given up, I think I heard, 80 points in two games.
Yeah.
So the defense is terrible. This is make or break for the Giants. They don't win this game, they ain't going nowhere this season. They went in the terrible NFC East, which right now
I think it's a good,
good it's NFC got to improve. But they ain't going to even compete for that if they don't beat Atlanta at home this week. I'm taking the Giants, but if they lose, it's over. It's donezo.
Donezo? All right. Saints at the Patriots. Still in the 1 o'clock brackets. This is a toss-up game.
Yes, it is. I would stay away from this one.
I'm going to go home field advantage. I'm taking the Pats.
I'm taking home field advantage as well. I'm taking the Patriots. But toss-up game. Stay away. Mm-hmm. Not surprised if the Saints win.
Sorry, I jumped ahead. I apologize. Still in the 1 o'clock games here. The Bengals at the Steelers.
Wait, the Jets are at 4?
Yep, I apologize. I jumped ahead. I misread. It's on me.
Well, it depends how many players the Steelers are getting back this week because they lost a lot.
Yep.
I'm taking Joe Burrow and the Bengals because of the problems with Joe-wise.
You talk about a make-or-break week for your Giants, and even though they are in the win column at 1-1, I think this is a make-or-break week to a degree for the Steelers.
Really?
Because the Bengals have shown that they can put up some firepower.
Even with all the injuries.
Yeah, I still think when push comes to shove, though, I think the Steelers still win this game.
They're home.
Yeah.
Cincinnati, another story.
Najee Harris, welcome to the NFL moments last week, which is really good to see if you're a Steelers fan or if you're a fantasy football fan like myself who has him on the team. So, last of the 1 o'clock games, Ravens at the Lions. I'm going Ravens. This one, again, probably going to be high up in the last man standing.
I'm going Ravens. I think they could put up 45 points on the Lions.
Oof.
Big game.
First of the 4:05 matchups, I jumped ahead, obviously, with this. Jets at the Broncos.
I know you're anticipated. I know you're so excited for this game.
It's got to be game of the week.
Jets at the Broncos. Yep. They're going to go all that way just to lose.
Teddy Two Gloves, baby.
Got the Broncos.
Same.
By a mile.
This is going to be... The 4 o'clock window has a lot of fun games this week, outside of that last one. Really, the other three games are really fun games, in my opinion. Dolphins at the Raiders. I'm on Vegas. I'm going to stick to the guns.
Absolutely. Who's quarterback from the Dolphins? Is it still Brissett?
It would be Brissett if Tua can't go.
Raiders will kill him.
I don't know about kill, but I think the Raiders are going to be able to keep him at arm's length.
35-13 if Brissett plays.
Ooh, okay. First of the 4:25s, Seahawks at the Vikings.
Ooh.
Well, an old playoff rivalry, man.
Yeah, whenever you think of...
I think of field goals.
Yeah, Seahawks at the Vikings, I think of Blair Walsh missing that 19-yard field goal.
I'm on Seahawks here.
I'm going Vikings here.
Can't say I blame you.
I think Seahawks travel on the road. Vikings winless, right? They're winless. Yeah, they lost two close ones. Mm-hmm. Arizona and Cincinnati. Got Minnesota getting that first win of the season this week.
All right. And then the Buccaneers at the Rams. There will be a lot of scoring in this one.
There will be. And I got the Rams winning this ball game. I think Tom Brady is not going to go undefeated. Even if you thought he would do it in 2007, 2008, he didn't do it. They're losing this week.
Wow.
At the Rams. I got Stafford beating Brady.
So,
in this game,
if the running back situation was a healthy one for the Rams, I'd be with you. The fact of the matter is, though, it's just not. So, with that in mind, I am going to go Tampa Bay.
In a fantasy note here.
Yes.
The way Stafford throws a Cooper Kupp, Cooper Kupp could be the best receiver in fantasy football this year.
Just a brief hello to the random live commenter commenting in Japanese or something on...
Oh, what do you say?
I don't know. I'm not going to say what his profile pic is because we'll have to figure out a way to delete it.
Yeah. All right. Thanks for watching.
No. I feel like this is the one person we don't want watching.
Yeah, that's the fans we get.
Sunday night, Packers at the 49ers. Aaron Rodgers travels home.
I got the 49ers in this game. I thought the quarterback mess ruined San Francisco, but it didn't seem to.
See, this is where I feel like the games are going to, for Rodgers, that you're going to see some maybe not so much 100% type stuff. I think I'm going to go San Fran.
Really?
Yeah.
And I was this close to picking the Packers.
Yeah, that's a toss-up game. It really is.
It's going to be another good one, I think.
And then Monday night, Eagles at the Cowboys.
Oh, they saved the best for last. I hope the Eagles win, but the Cowboys are winning this ball game.
I'm going to go Eagles.
Okay.
I'm going Eagles.
Any reason by it?
Jalen Hurts, pretty good.
Dak didn't show up last week, even though they won.
All right.
Man, we are racing through these topics.
I see what you did there.
Even though we're not
so much
really,
so, Nick, you can lead it off. Nah, I'm just kidding with you. NASCAR Cup playoffs were in the round two elimination this past week at Bristol. Best racing weekend in a while, collectively, to sidebar on that. But Kyle Larson won two of the three races in round one, Darlington and Bristol. Dominates like he has been all season long. His win at Bristol, 6 on the year, he has doubled in a single season his total win total coming into it.
Wow.
Martin Truex won last week, or the week prior, rather, at Richmond. Those are your top two seeds moving forward into round two. Your top 12 in this round, in the round of 12. Larson, Truex, Hamlin, Blaney, Kyle Busch, Chase Elliott, Alex Bowman, William Byron, Joey Logano, Brad Keselowski, Christopher Bell and Kevin Harvick, year 12. Just missing the cut, Tyler Reddick and Eric Almirola, Kurt Busch, and then Cinderella story on the year Michael McDowell after winning the Daytona 500. Eliminated. Going to be a fun stretch here. The next three races, as I just pulled them up really quickly.
Kevin Harvick's still there.
Still there. Hanging on.
He's got to win.
He does. So, but he had his best shot. I mean, we had a classic Kevin Harvick moment this past week at Bristol involving Chase Elliott getting in confrontational and all that type of deal. So yeah, your round of 12 races, two wild cards, one maybe not so much. They're at Vegas, obviously Nicky Lutu at this past week for the South Point 400. Then they go to Talladega in 2 weeks for the Yellowwood 500. And then it's the Bank of America Roval 400 3 weeks from now. Two wild cards. And then this week, your status quo for round 12 pretty much at the mile and a half. Probably Larson's going to win Vegas. Larson or Truex would probably be the odds-on favorites there. At that point, though, it's a toss-up. Who's going to get Talladega and who's going to get the Roval? The biggest questions, really, of the NASCAR playoffs coming up here. Because at that point, round of eight, your three races for that. Texas, Kansas, Martinsville. Not a ton of wild card wiggle room there. Maybe Martinsville because of the short track cast. And obviously the championship at Phoenix, though, with the Final Four. But, you know, I'm not too – this is going to be a really tight and interesting window because really, in my mind, the only one who's, like, really, truly super-duper safe in this is Larson. He's got a 30-point lead over Truex by playoff points that he's been able to accumulate throughout the year. He pretty much has a full race. He does have a full race up on Kevin Harvick, the 12th seed. So you can pretty much stencil him in to the next round. I think he'll win anyway at Vegas. I don't think it's going to make a difference. So at that point, who wins Talladega? Who wins the Roval? Hasn't shown a ton of stuff this year overall, but you know, Dig, I think, will provide a little bit of a surprise. I'm going to go Brad Keselowski there. Mm. One last win as a Penske driver before going and doing the owner-driver deal with over at Roush Fenway next year. And then the Roval, that's probably where you go see Chase Elliott get a breakthrough win here. He's not so much struggling the past few weeks / months, but certainly not the Chase Elliott of old that we expected from last year. That being said, Larson, Keselowski, Elliott, your three off the bat. I think Truex, Hamlin, and Blaney are going to probably point their way in kind of soundly. I think Kyle Busch, same as well. So that puts us at one last guy to get into the next round, in my opinion. Who's that going to be? I'm going to go Kevin Harvick, savvy veteran, even though he's a 12th seed. I think he's going to find a way to get in there and kind of break through in that. With that, that means I have Bowman, Byron, Christopher Bell, and Joey Logano not making the round of eight. So that's where we're kind of at NASCAR Cup-wise. The RF Series, Xfinity will start their playoffs this week. Trucks will start their round two as well this week at Vegas. So,
I mean, how can you not go against Kyle Larson? He's been so good all season long, especially his big win at Watkins as well. But where's Ryan Blaney, Paul? He was hot at the end of the regular season there.
Mm-hmm.
Where's he stand in all this?
He's been good. I think I think it will be tough for him to make the Final Four. But I mean, hey, you just have to win in advance. So
who are you pulling for?
I mean, I'd like to see Blaney out of that group. I've always rooted for Blaney. He's one of Bubba's friends, and I kind of like that group aspect that they have. So I'll go. I think I like Blaney. I'm rooting for him.
Got to talk about that Daytona race's finale. What do you think of Bubba sneaking in there second place?
Hey, we were close.
And if he had won, he wouldn't have been in the playoffs.
Yeah, we were close.
That's his best finish, I got to assume, right?
Tied, yeah. He finished second in his first ever Daytona 500.
So. Oh, really?
Yep. So, yeah. We're getting there. within that realm. But like I said, they're a new team, and
he's gonna win.
But they're finding their strides because, I mean, his second half of the year, he's accumulated, I think it's something like the 10th most points out of like whoever, and the car has been like the 10th most consistent car in the second half of the year. So we're coming around. Old 2311, we're getting there.
There we go. room for him in the future, but yeah. You can't go wrong with Kyle Larson right now.
No, I mean, that's just unstoppable.
The question I think we're eliminating, will Kevin Harvick win in 2021? I think yes.
I don't know. I think so too, but I mean, it's just tough. I mean, they had such a good car last year. I mean, the rumor is that NASCAR at the start of the year put a rule in place specifically because the four car found something they could do with their rear wheel wells. So I'm not too sure, you know, if everybody was just able to catch up with that rule being in or what, but who knows. All right. That wraps up the show for tonight. Thanks, everybody, for tuning in, listening at your own leisure at that point, or watching at your own leisure, or joining us live. Nick, toss it over to you. Who are you shouting out? And just make sure you listen to September by Earth, Wind, and Fire.
Okay. I'm shouting out Steve Lucchesi today.
Ah, yeah, Steve.
Our good friend, friend of the show, been on the show, Andrew Lucchesi, his older brother, Steve. Lives in Houston, Texas now, from Seneca Falls. Had his first kid today, I was told by Andrew. Andrew's home from China for good, for the time being. Steve's in Houston, and he just had his first child today, a daughter, Andrew's new niece. Big day for Andrew. Shout out to Andrew as well for being home from China. Andrew, big day for him. He got a new phone, got a flu shot, COVID shot, and a niece. What a day. But shout out Steve, shout out Andrew, shout out to Lucchesi's. Hello, Nick. Inside joke by Mr. Lucchesi. But that's it for me. Shout out.
Okay. you heard that, right? Holy crap.
Speaking of Andrew, he's here.
Get in here. Yeah, come on in. Just push. There you go.
We're at the end right now.
Hop in Nick's chair really quick. Show the
people. Actually, unbelievable timing.
Yeah, we were just wrapping up. Come on, hop. No, go to Nick's. Go to Nick's chair really quick. Because that way I won't have to adjust the mic or anything like that. Andrew.
What's going on?
Welcome back stateside.
Yep.
Welcome to the pod.
Actually, it's crazy timing because I just did my shout-out.
Yeah, I know.
My shout-out was Steve, your brother.
Oh. Congratulations. Congratulations, Andrew. Welcome back from China. How's it feel to be back in America?
Feels great.
How are you feeling?
Great to be back in the studio. When are you going to have me on for a full pod?
Well, I did ask you to come on for a full pod today. You pretty much said no.
Just give us your overall thoughts on Aaron Rodgers right now.
Yeah, give us some Aaron Rodgers talk quick before we get out of here.
Well, look, it's definitely some upsetting offseason, but glad he's back, even if it's just for 1 year. I think he's still our best chance to win. So great victory last night.
Matt's over here in the corner, by the way. Just sees us yelling about how he should have traded him and everything like that. So
hello, audience.
Should have traded Russ.
Well, Andrew, thanks for stopping by really quick. We gotta get out of here. So
even though I just snuck in the office,
I know. All right, like I said, we do this once a week, usually on Tuesdays. Like, share, subscribe, all the fun stuff. And we'll catch you here next week for another new episode.